The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This is James Williams. You're tuned in to Respectfully Speaking on 860 AM, Fridays from 5 to 6, where we discuss
being great, health and wellness, sports, politics, and different ideas to build our community.
Because what's important to you is important to me. And I'm Eric Allen. Welcome to Respectfully Speaking Radio.
And remember, our opinions and ideas define who we are as people. Respectfully speaking.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror. What do you see? Do you see it clearer? Or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all. And you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human. I do what I can. I'm just a man. I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
Without you, there ain't no place for me to hide. Without you, there's no way I Welcome to Respectfully Speaking on 860 AM. I'm your host, James Williams. My partner in crime, EA, is not available today. He's just got a lot going on. They got the big knockout party with Gillian Wallo. He's just got a lot of planning. We got our big teen awards coming up, which he's working on, so we got a lot of stuff moving. But we're back here. We're back here today. We got a lot of good guests in line for you. We're going to talk a lot of different topics, right? So we're going to really dig into some of the stuff that's going on right now financially. We got a caller coming in a second. We're going to talk about what's going on with Bitcoin. I mean, since the election, that stuff has just been rising rapidly. And if you're invested in that, you understand, like, how much money you're making. So, you know, we're fortunate enough that we have somebody on the line right now, Dave Davenport. We're going to pop him in, and we're going to just get right into that about what's happening in the markets and stuff, because we just want to bring this information to y'all. Are you there, Dave?
Hey, what's up? How's everything going?
Dave Davenport, one of the top writers for the Uptown Standard. Also a sponsor of the show, the Uptown Standard. Thanks for joining us. So it's so much I want to ask you, so just be patient with me because I'm still learning this stuff. But what's happening with Bitcoin right now? Because it's soaring, and I know a lot of people are making a lot of money on it, but a lot of people don't understand it and understand what it is.
Right. A lot of people don't, but they're starting to get it now. It's starting to become much more mainstream now, especially since the big banks have been more involved in it, particularly this year. I mean, they've been involved in it before. They just didn't really say that they were. But now, that, you know, they're more involved with it now. Like, a lot of them have ETFs based off of, you know, the Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Okay.
And what I mean by ETF, I mean exchange-traded funds.
Okay.
So what happens is, like if you have an Ethereum, they might buy Ethereum products that are based off the Ethereum network or Bitcoin, where, you know, like different companies like buy into Bitcoin, so they invest in that. So that's kind of, you know, and they based off the exchanges. Like it could be off the, I would say Coinbase is pretty much an exchange. So is Binance and so on.
So Coinbase. Because I think I have Coinbase, right? So that's just the platform. It's more than one platform. You don't have to just go to Coinbase.
Right. There's many platforms that's out there. Like, for instance, in America, the most common one used is Coinbase and crypto.com. Okay. Those are the most popular here. But also, but if you go to China, the most popular crypto exchange will be Binance.
Okay.
Or in Europe, I believe it's BitTrue. I think BitTrue is the most popular one over there. So you have, I know they had, what is it? IX Exchange, it was Coin Exchange. That was a big one in Russia. So they had certain, you know, certain platforms are like more popular in certain countries than others.
Okay, so is it safe to say that like this is not some kind of like, as some people like to make it seem like, some kind of like fluke economy thing that's happening, or it's not real? I mean, this is literally becoming a big thing internationally. What's happening in this, correct?
Well, actually, internationally, more countries were using crypto before the United States were.
Okay.
And I'll give an example. I was in Africa in 2016. I was in Zimbabwe, to be exact. And they were using crypto for exchange. They were using the U.S. dollar. Well, let me tell you, they were using other exchanges and other money because their money collapsed. So
yeah.
I don't know if you know, but you know how we have a $100 bill?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They had a $1 trillion bill.
And that was probably worth like, $100 in the U.S.?
It was worth like $40 in the U.S.
Yeah, because
$1 trillion bill.
And that's crazy. And that's just crazy. In general, so let me.
So we got.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Let me just finish real quick. So what they did was, because of that, they weren't using. They stopped. You know, they stopped using their own currency. So they would use the U.S. dollar. They would use South African rand, and they would use British pound. but they also was using Bitcoin.
Okay.
So I seen them using it in transactions, right? You wouldn't think they were using it then, but they were. And so, a lot of countries was using it before the United States really adapted to it.
So kind of like how we use, like, Apple Pay. They just use their phone for it, I guess? Or is it, like,
an
actual property that they have in their hands, like a tangible thing? It's more like on the phone or on an app, right? That
they're using. Like, with crypto, crypto is not something you can hold in your hand. So anybody say, here's a crypto right here, and, like, giving it to you like it's a coin or a dollar, they're trying to jam you. They're trying to rob you. Bitcoin is solely electronic.
Okay.
It's you're not. It's truly digital. Like you can't hold it in your hand. Now you can transfer it into a wallet, which holds the crypto in it. I mean, so it's on like your flash drive or something like that. But it's never going to be like you will hold a $20 bill. It's not going to be like that.
Okay, gotcha. Because I'm in the fundraising field, right? That's what I do. And now people are literally donating crypto instead of cash.
That's pretty good.
Right?
That's good.
So now, like, there's, like, hey, yeah, we take crypto too, right? That's like, the new thing. So here's my big question. So, and just explain this. What is the difference? Because I don't think everybody out there knows that, because I don't know this stuff. What is, and I think I'm a pretty on top of things person. What is the difference between, like, cryptocurrency and NFTs? Are they, like, the same?
No. Well,
or are they the same in theory?
This is the thing. The currency is what they use as the exchange to buy into the product.
Okay.
But it's really, when you talk about the NFT, you're talking about its usage, its utility.
Okay.
So the NFT will be like the art. You know what I mean? Or the music.
So it's like Mona Lisa.
Right.
And I buy art as a collector because it has value.
Right. Like, okay. So if you had the original Mona Lisa, you know that's worth a lot of money. So, like, say for instance, if you put the Mona Lisa on a blockchain, it was one Mona Lisa, you know it's on a blockchain. So you won't get, like, you would know if you have a fake one because it wouldn't be the real Mona Lisa because there's only one Mona Lisa. So if you see the one, like you and your they say hypothetically your grandma's bathroom or something,
mm-hmm.
and you see like a little Mona Lisa right there, you know that's not the real one. So what NFTs are, they are non fungible tokens. That's what they're called, and they really are pretty much proof of ownership, and you can't just make a copy of it. You
gotcha.
Can't make another Mona Lisa. It's just the one, and it's on that one blockchain.
So, because a big part of my show today is mm-hmm. I got some of my Republican friends stepping in into the studio because we really want to talk some more about this election. But why do you think crypto has exploded since the election?
Well, it exploded in America because the big companies like the BlackRock's and, the J.P. Morgan's, they start backing it. That's why it exploded here. But if you think about it, it was already, think about in 2011 or 2012 when it was like $40 and $30.
Gotcha.
It exploded in other countries already, So it really, between when United States really start getting into it, it was only maybe 50,000, 60,000. So it might have doubled, if anything. But if you're talking about Zimbabwe, people were using it years ago. So people who were using it there, and if they, which they still have it, which they still do, they might have one or two. They made a whole lot of money off of that.
So
it kind of depends on when you got in for that.
And it is crazy, right? Because one of my guests just walked in. And he's big in this field too. Like, he does this. So
yeah, we own. I'm a part owner of Quantum Expeditions. So we're a Bitcoin mining company out of West Texas.
Oh, okay.
And I've been in the field since 2014. And everything you're talking about, I mean, that goes to the M-Pesa network and the Central African Republic trying to now stand up their own digital currency. You know, I think that's really big. And honestly, I think that the opportunity to go into African states right now and bring digital currency to the mainstream is something that could just revolutionize business, because you've got, it's the same problem we had up in Harlem. You know, you've got a ton of unbanked, but you have with Generation Z and Gen Alpha, you've got 30 to 40% crypto adoption. And it's not just Bitcoin. It's a bunch of meme coins. It's altcoins. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I pray to God that they didn't get involved with that Hawk or that Ta, the Tua coin. But
you know. Hold on 1 second. And I hate to do this to y'all, but just real quick, Dave, just hold on for 1 second. Can you cue? I got to bring a guest in, but this guest here, and Oz is a regular here on this show, right? So everybody who listens to this show, they know who Oz is. But this guest.
I mean, it's what you're expecting, ain't it? Let's go. Turn the music up in the headphones. Yeah, that's perfect.
Right.
You gotta take your time, make the wait on this month. Make me so mad, like, it's usually just start rapping after 4 bars, but go in, start dancing this month,
yeah,
you just come out of nowhere.
I feel like a black Republican, money I got coming in, can't turn my back on the hood, I got love for them, can't clean my act up, good, too much thugging them, probably in the back in the hood, like, been huddling over the oven, we was like brothers then, what? Though you was nothing other than the son of my mother's friend, we had governing, who would have thought the love would end, like ice cold album, all good things, never thought we'd sing the same song that all hoods sing, thought it was all wood grain, all good brain. We wouldn't bicker like the other fools talk good game. Never imagine all the disaster that one could bring, should blame the cane.
All right. So, I had to open up and bring you in this way, my brother.
Thank you. Welcome. I like that song.
Well, I know you do. Welcome to Respectfully Speaking. Man, we got James Whitehead in here, right?
Thanks for having me.
Republican ward leader still? Nah, or you stepped down? No more.
That's not no more.
I got a funny feeling about this one. So, yeah, we got James in here. We got Oz in here. And, man, you know, I've been wanting to do some talking, deep diving. Now,
you know,
stuff.
James and I go back years.
Yeah, we go back
years. And then I got to hear about that. And then we got Dave on the phone. So this is good. So let's just get right into it, right? So former ward leader, former
Republican district leader and chairman emeritus of the Harlem Republican Club. And I'm giving up my seat as district leader in February. And becoming a committee person in Montgomery County.
Ooh. Welcome to the area.
Thank you.
Welcome to the area. And what you got next?
Oh, man. So I'm still city committee. I'm no longer a ward leader, state committee. Sit on the Office of Emergency Maintenance Public Steering Committee, the first of its kind in the city of Philadelphia. Also on the board over there are Philly Reading Coaches. And I'm over in the Knightstown CDC NAS Committee on the board over there. Someone like three city boards.
Wow. Wow. And you've been keeping busy. So
yeah, I've been keeping very busy.
And James is very active in the Jewish community.
Very. Yes. Very. Yes, you are. You
yes,
are.
I am.
So let's and last time I had you on here, Oz, I kind of went on a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do that today because I was really expressing my views of the Philly GOP, but we're going to get him a break a little bit.
Yeah. By the way, salam alaikum to all the brothers and sisters out there in Philly.
Yes. So let's just dive right into this. Me and you talked about the election a lot.
Yeah.
Coming into the election, I think I might have been off on one state.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you know what? No one really predicted the fact that Kamala couldn't even flip a county, like nationwide. The last time that happened was 1934.
I mean, this is the reddest I've ever seen the map look.
This is like...
Besides Reagan.
Yeah.
Besides Reagan. You know
Reagan
what I mean?
Times, yeah.
This is the reddest I saw the map. So, James, in Philly... She definitely underperformed.
Very.
Right?
Yes.
She underperformed Biden. What happened?
I think
In your mind. And I say this because you're good on both sides of the aisle like I was when I was playing that game, right? Like, you know, I looked at you as a guy who was kind of moving the same way I moved when I was here. when I was there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, usually guys like us have a little perspective on each side a little more than the average Republican, right? Because I predicted the Workers' Family Party taking everything a couple of years ago, and I told them what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, what do you think happened?
Nope. With Kamala?
Yeah, like, what happened in Philly with her?
I believe pandering finally ran its course.
Yep.
Policies, she had no policies. If you looked at Kamala's political career, she really had none, right? She just was attorney general, district attorney. Even, I think another thing was, besides the lack of policies in the Democratic Party, just pandering, they just pushed us. They just basically pushed her onto us.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't, she wasn't decided to be the president, right? Usually when a person runs, the public would pick.
Yeah.
They didn't pick her.
I mean, she finished last time out.
Yeah, last time, right? In 2020 when she ran for president. It was bad. It was very bad.
And I never predicted her to be a legislator, right? Because she really, even though she was in the Senate, she really wasn't a legislator.
No,
like
she wasn't.
You know what I mean? She was co-signing a lot of legislation. She was doing sign-ons. Honestly, she did a lot of work with Tim Scott and Cory Booker.
To be honest, I think that when she was vice president, I just think that we hardly ever seen her, ever. Like, there was times where I'd be like, where is she? I think that she just used that to learn. Like, I think she was just learning.
So
this
is
a learning curve with her.
Let me ask you this. Do you think she offended the Philadelphia Democratic Party leadership when she came to Philly and chose Tim Walz on a stage that was meant for Josh Shapiro?
Beyond insulted.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
I don't know. I want to hear your perspective, you know.
Josh Shapiro wouldn't work.
You don't think?
No, it wouldn't work. No. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would work. No.
I think he's going to be next president.
No, I don't think so. Maybe when she was president. It's never one.
No, but they said there was never going to be a Catholic president either. We've had two now.
Yeah, but the Catholics paid their debts in blood through two wars. Yeah. You know,
there you go.
America. It took a long time for America to look at Catholics differently.
And you know what? Here's what I'm going to say.
We're not there yet.
As a proud Catholic, right? We took this election.
Yeah.
We took this election.
Absolutely. Especially Pennsylvania. I mean, there's 5 million voting Catholics in Pennsylvania. And everyone was saying that, like, you know what? Casey's their man in Washington because he's Catholic. But what it came down to was they said, you haven't done anything for us. And the big problem was the weaponization of lawfare against the churches. When they started going in and they were like, look, you guys try and do anything.
So it wasn't that we were as Catholics were misogynistic.
No. You're talking about state legislators saying that we're going to pull your 501c3s. I mean, you had that level of, like, depravity in going after religious people, people of faith. And I think this really became, you know, this was like a hallmark of a big change in America. Because America is not just the cities. America is not Harlem that I represent. That's a piece of America. But most of America is places that you can't get to in Elon's cars, you know? Most of America...
Flyover country.
Yeah, flyover country. I mean, like, I grew up in Pittsburgh, right? And
You're right at the border of it.
Yeah, you go out to West Virginia, you got to think about something. Like, most of these people have to drive 30, 40 miles to get a dress for their kid, you know? Like, there isn't infrastructure around there. And when you start looking at the prices of things and the economy and the simple fact Kamala couldn't answer one question... And when you asked, like, her supporters about this, and they were like, how dare you? You're not listening to her. I'm like, you can only be so academically elitist to the American people for so long, and then they're just going to say we're done.
So do you think this was a repeal on elitism? Was this like, hey, like, look, you know, we're tired of you, like, Starbucks sipping, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Loafer-wearing liberals, like, telling us what to do and how we should feel and saying we're dumb.
But it's not just telling them how they should feel. It's telling them how they should raise their kids. It's telling them morality is.
I think that was the big one, right? So when you say to me, say, hey, what was the death nail, right? That when Trump left office and Biden took over, we had 1 million kids being homeschooled in America.
Mm.
Going into this election, we had 5 million.
Right.
So it drastically jumped, right? It drastically jumped during that time period, right?
Yeah.
Like, completely. And then you have suburban moms, right, who are saying, hey, I can't even tell what my kids' pronouns is now. You can't tell me what my kids are changing their pronouns to in school?
Or even or better one, being the, so they're able to change their sex without their parents' consent.
Yeah.
Look, underneath 18. That's crazy.
We had sex ed when you achieved puberty. Okay, it was always at puberty. It was that for generations. And now all of a sudden you're asking for waivers to go into kindergarten and start talking about, I have a daughter, okay? You have daughters, right? They're not at puberty yet. They don't fully understand the sex. And what you're doing is you're taking vulnerable kids who are trying to impress their parents and they want to be loved, and you're shoving these adult concepts down their throat. Let them be kids. You know, if they want to do this stuff later on, that's on them. Okay, but at least allow them to get through the age of majority, which, you know, for Muslims and Jews is 13, right? Yeah. But at least let them get through that.
Yeah, yeah. The maturity stage where they feel like, if my daughter was to come to me and say, hey, Dad, I wanna change my sex, and I go, for what? Like, what in your mind, your 12 years of living would make you want to do something like that, right? Yeah. And usually, like, it's like, oh, because I seen it on television that made her feel comfortable to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because it's being constantly pushed through the media. It's being constantly pushed through movies, television shows, kids shows, even with the music now, right? So,
I mean, Disney shows. You got Disney's kids shows that are, it's like asexual, bisexual. I'm like, hold up.
So do you think people were, so here's the crazy thing, right? Like, do you think this was, I always tell people, I best describe this election this way.
Mm.
It was reproductive rights versus religious rights and constitutional rights.
I would say it's reproductive rights versus religious rights,
yeah,
divided by the issue of the economy and the issue of safety. Okay?
Well, I mean, the economy wasn't really that bad.
It's rough. I mean, you got to go outside of Philly, go to Pittsburgh. Go to places like that.
So basically what you're
rough.
Saying is like, it's good in Philly. It's good in certain cities, right? Certain
cities. It is good where you have decent job density,
okay,
and right, where you have union density,
yeah,
and where you have businesses that are technology focused. The rest of the country, flyover country, West Virginia, you know, Oklahoma, friggin' Hoopy, Ohio,
mm-hmm,
okay? These types of things, people are struggling.
Big time.
I give you this, right? So mainly it's in people who do not work for big companies, right? That's how I like to look at it, right? And yeah. I use this example. I own a daycare, and it costs me now $1,100 a month more,
mm-hmm,
to run my daycare than it did 4 years ago. A month. $1,100. That's on a good month.
Yeah.
It costs me $800 a month more to run my newspaper. It costs me $1,200 a month more to run my household.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all in all, I'm spending $3,000 a month more now.
Now, that's you here in urban areas.
That's me here, okay, right? And I love what somebody said to me when I said, look, I'm just not for that. They said, well, you're being selfish. Isn't it about everybody else?
Median income in this country, and I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's somewhere between like 35 and 45,000. Right? It's right around there, right? And so you're saying that the average person is earning $45,000, and if they're married, let's say that their spouse is taking care of the kids, so they're maybe part-time employed, that household is maybe making 60 Gs.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of housing has gone up like 300-400%.
Dramatically.
The cost of gasoline has gone up 200%. The cost of groceries, I mean, they had a homeboy showed his cart from Walmart from 3 years ago
and to now
reordered the same cart. There was a $300 difference in the cart, just regular stuff he gets.
But isn't that price we pay for the greater good?
But
that's
what
inflation.
Ask the question here. What is the greater good and what is the greater morality? And I think what Americans ask themselves, is the greater good, I am giving billions of dollars to a war I don't understand, and now 17 wars we don't understand.
How many wars are we in now?
17.
Yeah.
Including the clandestine wars.
AJ, Jay, the person said, oh, well, the price of AIDS, that's inflation. That has nothing to do with the greater good of people. Inflation doesn't help anybody.
Yep.
That has nothing to do with, oh, yeah, you're selfish. What? That's inflation, my guy. That don't help nobody.
But for the individual, so I had someone tell me, you're choosing your economic prosperity or your bills, the cost of the egg, over my rights to have an abortion.
Okay, so let's address that. They asked Kamala head on in an interview, would you be willing to compromise on anything to get a bill passed for some sort of a federal guideline on abortion? And she said no. Mm-hmm. And she said no in three interviews, okay? So what that means is all lipstick on the pig. She's selling you a bunch of ideas.
I love that term.
And she is saying that she's going to do them, but they will never get enacted. But what she ran on was, I feel good that I have this person in office who at least understands my idea, okay? They at least understand the constituency that I belong to, when it was abortion rights and LGBTQ rights and that kind of a thing. But the remainder of the country is just asking simple questions. How do you fix the economy? How am I actually going to afford to live, because I'm living on credit cards right now, even though I am working and my husband's working? We have to put our kids in different schools. And by the way, it has gotten unsafe. I mean, when illegal immigrants can come in New York and rape a child, murder a child, and face almost nothing from the judiciary, okay, where is the safety that we expect? And the same thing was happening in PA. It was happening in other cities.
I don't have nothing to say on that one. I really don't. I mean, so look, right, you know, like full disclosure, I wrote an article in 2015 when I was a Republican ward leader, when I was working for David L.
Mm-hmm.
It's in city and state, right? Every elected Democrat official in the city wrote back in a response to me. And it was called, I wrote an article on how illegal immigration affected African-American unemployment. This is before Trump said black jobs.
Mm.
I said this in 2015.
You finish that, I'll tell you what happened in Harlem.
Because the NAACP, why was it founded? To stop immigration. Legal immigration. The NAACP was created to stop legal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So basically what I did is I wrote this article.
I thought it was the advancement of colored people.
NAACP. But the only way we could advance is if you stop bringing people from overseas to take the jobs from the country that we built.
Yeah.
You had no white blacksmiths.
No.
They were black people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cooks. Cleaners, all that was black people.
Tanners, processing people, all of it, all black.
Booker T. Washington in the 1865 Atlanta Compromise spoke about, like, hey, listen, we built your country. Now you want to bring these people over here to look like you with foreign tongues and take our jobs away because you got to pay us.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why the NAACP was coming. And let me finish this. When I wrote this article, I didn't use my words. I used all quotes from civil rights leaders during that time that were against immigration.
You got backlash for that?
Oh, man. I was divisive.
Wow.
Right? And I was like, wow, I'm using Barbara Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using Booker T. Washington. I'm using Frederick Douglass. I'm using Harriet Tubman. I'm divisive.
Wow.
Right? I think blacks, and I have to say this, a lot of black people say, well, blacks who voted for Trump or Uncle Tom's or Uncle Ruckus or whatever, and I don't find that necessary. Here's what I say. One thing you saw about this race, the one demographic clear thing was this, right? Well, two. One, anybody who believed in Christ voted against Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
Besides black Christians.
Yes.
Right? But, I mean.
Now, anyone who believed in
the King James Bible, that was written. It was written to create slavery.
Right.
So, I mean, like, you're studying a Bible that was created in 1612. Like,
right. Right.
I mean, of course, you're brainwashed a little bit, right?
But
I'm not going to go there too much. But, and then the other thing was, we were the only race that wasn't 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the only one?
We were the only race that wasn't 50-50. Jesse Jackson had a great saying he said years ago, and I really don't like to quote Jesse Jackson. But he said, if the way blacks vote is that if we don't spread our vote every time a Republican is in the White House, blacks are in the outhouse.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I can see that.
So we haven't gained anything.
Anything.
In an election since 1974, when they came out with affirmative action, which was brought out by Nixon.
Yeah, but I'll tell you.
Right?
We did gain in 16, okay? So there was Darren Blanton and Floyd Mayweather, who worked with Pastor Daryl Scott, and they drove a lot of criminal justice reform in this country under Trump. But all this stuff wasn't really covered by the media, okay? And I think one of the biggest things that we've seen is a necessity for criminal justice reform. And they talk about no cash bail and this bullshit. What it really...
Right,
Forgive me. What it comes down to is, look, I represent Harlem. Our biggest issue is recidivism. Mm-hmm. We have 72% recidivism. Mm-hmm. The problem that they talk about in Philadelphia with prison recidivism, and they castigate Muslims and they castigate black people, it's you get out of there, there's no halfway houses, there's no programs. And then at the same point in time, all of the programs that were supposed to go for black youth, after school programs, police athletic leagues, all of this stuff, defund took all of our money away. Okay, so now I have tens of thousands of kids in the summer with nothing to do in Harlem, and I have four competing gangs up until last year. Now we got Tren de Agua in there as well.
Yeah, Tren de Agua.
So they're competing with the Dominican gangs, the Latin kings, and, you know, and then the
it's like
the,
down in Chicago,
the Trinitarios. Yeah, so you got these people all out there recruiting, but I have nothing for these kids to do, okay? And at the same point in time, to the education thing you started out with, the quality of education has gotten to New Jack City, where we're just police watching these kids. We're not educating them. And then you bring all of these foreign kids in, there's not even enough Spanish-speaking teachers. So the quality of everything continues to go down. You keep saying you're supporting America because you're a Democrat, but where's the beef? Like, where's the proof on this?
So, I mean, do you think that, and here's the thing, right? Let's just not, like, act like just Trump won.
Oh, I'm not acting like Trump won.
Right? Like, the GOP, and look, I'm an independent. Mm-hmm. I'm a registered independent now. And in my theory, let me say why I'm an independent first. Because I don't believe anybody in media should have a party.
That's fair.
Oh, I don't believe once you're in media, I don't think you should have a political party. You get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, because the news would be biased.
You're biased.
You might
right?
want to tell the major networks.
But. So, and let me say this. One of the best things I saw happen after this election was Joy Reid's numbers going down. Ooh. Like, I was the happiest man in the world because I just think she's an idiot.
Empty suit.
I think she promotes, like, the worst side of everything of us.
Well, her and Whoopi, how dare you ruin our bakery burg.
Whoopi,
how dare you ruin our bakery burg? Because she came after that bakery in Long Island.
She's another one, right?
No, man.
But, let me.
Dude, man.
I can't even. What was I talking about? What was I talking about?
You're talking about it can't just be a Trump thing.
Yeah. So, and let me get back to the Catholic thing real quick. Because.
Mm-hmm.
Dave McCormick was endorsed by Catholic votes.
And Dave McCormick's a Protestant with a messianic wife.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Here's what I saw, facts. Right? What I saw with the Catholic vote this time, it was crazy and I loved watching it, is we got rid of all the fake Catholics.
You got rid of... No,
you think so?
No, you got rid of all the high holiday Catholics, okay? All of the practicing Catholics and all of their friends and all these new young bucks that are reading the Bible all over again and are studying catechism and that kind of stuff, they came out. Mm-hmm. And they came out in force. And they recruited their friends, and they went out there and they registered their friends, and they brought them out to vote. And when you look at what the media is saying, they're like, how did Gen Z get so weaponized? My God, it's all Joe Rogan. It's not Joe Rogan.
They don't even listen to Joe Rogan.
No,
they don't pick Joe
it
Rogan.
It has to do with the issue of, can you have your faith protected? And it's, look, I'm all for gay rights, but it should be balanced and equal. You can have your secular gay rights. I need to have my religious rights.
Facts.
And we need to be able to live side by side. We don't have to like each other, but we can understand each other and we can live.
But you can't impose your will.
That's what it was, right? Like that's what we saw, right? We saw, you know what I mean? Like, and when people like even get into the DEI stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You know, I turned down two coaching jobs. College coaching jobs this year.
Why?
Because they asked me to meet with the DEI officer. And at that moment, I said, I don't want the job.
What about it makes you not?
Because I've been through DEI training. And it's just literally reprogramming.
It's rough when you're
it's
black.
Teaching me how to use the pronouns the right way. It's teaching me how to address. I didn't deal. And when I went to DEI training at the Covenant House, which is like a Catholic organization, which is like, oh, my God, how are y'all Catholic? Right? It was
well, that's because there's $1 billion in DEI money. And I'm going to tell you, the same way it is with drug rehab programs, which I think that the Catholic faith does a great job of, you know, above other faiths, right? The Jews do a decent job. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Muslims are kind of coming up, but we're all the new kids on the block. But, you know, when you're offering $1 billion to people and you're like, I need you to offer this training, they're going to take your $1 billion.
But literally, I sat there. And you know, most of these trainings, when I get a job, my wife did them for me. You know, she was like, yo, this is like brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is like brainwashing. And I sat and watched some of them, and I was like, okay, this is nothing about anything of people of color.
No.
This is all about accepting a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? Completely. And listen, I have no problem with people doing what they want.
It's the same thing with the colleges and universities.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, and I tell you this, right? Like, I have that libertarian streak in me, right? Like, I have that, and that's why I'm really independent. It's because I have that libertarian streak, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm that guy, like, listen, I'm... You know, whatever you want to do, you can do.
Right.
If you want to marry your cow, I don't care. If you want to fall in love with your
dog, we do have some restrictions.
No. Here's what I'm saying. Right?
The Amish might have something to say about that.
Yeah, but you can't say my body, my choice, and then say, well, she can't stand on the corner and or she can't go on OnlyFans and sell her body, right? It's her body. It's her choice.
Right.
Right? Your body, your choice means your body, your choice. Mm-hmm. If I want to go and shoot crack cocaine in my veins, let me do it.
I mean, it's an opportunity.
Right?
Right? You're talking about this right after the Lily Phillips thing.
Yeah. Right? Like, it's your body, your choice. That's just my theory. Like, I don't think if we're going to do it, let's do it. Right? Mm-hmm. Go all in. Don't, like, cherry pick.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, that offends me, so I don't want you to do that.
But what
if this doesn't offend me, so you can do that.
What DEI seemed to be was some people can say my body, my choice, and some people have a dictate on what the new cultural norm is. Mm-hmm, and that's mm-hmm. the weird part to me, because we have this thing called a constitution. And whether you have a cultural norm that's new or old or postmodern or whatever, like, there has to be some balance.
Exactly,
there.
Exactly. And you know, I think that, like, that's just the argument that I had, but I think that what we saw in this election, especially with young people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, it's funny, right? Because I coach track, and I'm not going to say the name of the school, right? But I'm a high school track coach. And the amount of kids that was talking politics in the hallway at practice, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, whoa, okay. I saw a change happening, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some kids on my team got in trouble because they took a picture with a Trump flag, and they all hold Trump flags.
But
they got in trouble.
That's right? An interesting thing because it was...
These are 17 years old.
You could talk about politics if you're talking about Democrat politics, but the moment that you talk about anything that was Republican or working families,
it was
you
against
start
the
getting
values.
Shunned.
It was against their values. It was, and that's what a parent wrote. Hey, this was against our values. A parent came at the kids, and the kids were like, the kids' parents were like, no, these are our values.
So you said they were imposed to working families' parties?
So in New York, I'll give you an example. The funniest thing about the Democrat Party in both Pennsylvania and New York is that they've defrocked ballot access for these smaller parties. And you know this. You've seen this, okay? Mm-hmm. So in New York, Cuomo, because Miranda from Sex and the City ran for governor, and she had a good chance of winning.
That was the redhead, right?
Yeah. And I forget, I mean, Cancer Brain, I always forget her name, but it's Miranda, and everyone knows Miranda.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they denied ballot access to all of their down-ticket candidates, and then they restricted them from getting ballot access. So what that did was that affected the independent, the conservative, the constitutional, all these other parties that are out there. So as much as the Dems talk about democracy...
Whoa. That's crazy you just said that, right? Because exit polls... showed the independents, when you ask independents, what was one of the main reasons you voted? And they said, it's to restore democracy.
Third party politics.
Right? Because they were like, we know which party is actually trying to eliminate us now.
No, because they know, I mean, they did the math. They're like, if you can get a couple percent for your presidential candidate, you now get all of these new things granted to you in terms of running down ticket candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And what Pennsylvania is, Josh Shapiro is terrified of, is, and you saw this with David O's race too, if working families had not been defrocked from ballot access in Pennsylvania, I mean, Sherrill might not be mayor.
You think Helen Gim could have got it, huh?
I think if they had, I mean, I think they're very radical, but, you know, the whole point about democracy is democracy.
Mm. Regardless of your party.
Correct.
Wait, so let me ask you guys a question. I've just been pretty much listening in because politics is not like my strong thing, what I really know. But do you guys really think what Shapiro said about I guess, about the U.S. healthcare guy being dead and how the public was reacting. You think people were really upset by the way he said it?
I think they were upset about three things. I think they were upset about the state of healthcare in Pennsylvania, because Obamacare was the ACA was a good idea. Okay,
it was Romney Care,
but it was Romney Care, and originally it was a modification of Hillary Care, Romney Care.
Who did it come from? Heritage Foundation, right?
Yeah, it was Romney, right? It was Romney Care, right?
2025 guys.
Heritage Foundation.
But no one wants to talk about that,
right? They created Obamacare. Yeah, it's crazy.
But the biggest problem with the ACA that no one talks about, and we know this in New York, is that they expected the middle class to pay for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And when the middle class said, oh, you know what we'll do is we'll do Christian health shares, we'll do a PPO, we'll do this, we'll do that, and they didn't use that exchange, the exchanges collapsed.
Yes.
And so now healthcare is way more expensive for people. Mm-hmm. It's exponentially shown in New York.
Premiums are Dave, can you put your phone on mute?
It sucks. So there was, one is that, two is UPMC and organizations like United Healthcare. United Healthcare is the seventh largest corporation in the world. Are you aware of that?
So
I'm not aware of that.
So the outgoing chairman who just left.
I did know that. I work in finance. I didn't know how big they were. That's why I was surprised the guy didn't really have no protection. They usually have protection.
They all have armed guards. And now, I mean, you saw what happened. Yeah. They every single one of these companies has taken their executives off their website. I'm like, these bums can still go and grab your 10K. They know who everyone is. And in New York, 3 days ago, they started putting up wanted posters for all these CEOs. Okay?
I saw that.
And it points to an endemic problem that Shapiro hasn't really addressed. Again, it's more lipstick on the pig. It's that there is a large group of people that don't make enough or make slightly too much, and they can't get coverage.
Yep.
That's the biggest issue in America, and that's the issue that needs to be fixed. Republican and Democrat, that's the issue that needs to be fixed.
Been there. Understand that one wholeheartedly. When my wife was with cancer, you know, we bought health care directly ourselves, because the only way to make sure we had great health care was I was paying, on top of the economy, I was paying $2,500 a month in health care.
Look, I'm at the tail
out of
end of...
So your premiums went up.
Hmm?
Your premiums went up.
No, I had it outright. I paid outright for my health insurance because I didn't have to do a job. I'm a business owner. Right. So every business owner was going through. And that's what I tell everybody, like, right? Like, everything you talk about, all this pie in the sky stuff, 20 an hour minimum wage, all this stuff, it only helps big box companies. It doesn't help small businesses. That kind of stuff crashes the economy in places like Selling Grove, PA, where you can buy a 5-bedroom house for $70,000.
Right.
Yep. You know what I mean? In flyover country, you're ruining their economies. Right, and then some of the things that people talk about. This is the first election that I've seen the Amish.
They
turn out.
They came out.
I mean, they turned out in 16, but not like this.
This was crazy.
This was all of the Amish literally said, "This is what we're doing." Because think about this:
you're raiding our farms.
Yeah, they were.
You're raiding our farms because you don't like the milk that we're producing.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to destroy $90,000 worth of raw milk inventory because there's any FDA guideline issue on this, just because we don't like it.
Yeah. And also, you guys have your own seeds, and we don't want you to have seeds no more. You got to buy sterile seeds from us.
Buy sterile seeds from Monsanto that will never re-germinate, and you have to rebuy.
They definitely come to the market.
Yeah. And by the way, if it ends up in your friend's land, we're going to sue him.
You know, it's funny. I said this to my mom, and she was saying, she was like, well, why are the Amish voting for Trump and everything? I was like, Mom, you eat apples every day, right? Cut that apple open and show me the seeds. Show me the seeds in a watermelon. There's less. Or hardly any. People aren't even paying attention
guess
to
that. Guess what?
Natural food is changed.
But guess what, though?
That's where Maha comes
Listen
from.
To this. That pear tree I got in my backyard,
mm-hmm.
it has seeds in it.
Yeah. But listen, don't say that too loud because Madeline Dean might send people to come and get that bad boy.
Dave,
okay?
That's just because you're artisanal.
Well, look, I think we're run out of time. This is crazy. I mean, first of all, thank you guys for coming in. Call out your name, call out your handle. Dave Davenport, you want to start off? Tell them where to find you at.
You can actually find me on Philly Uptown Standard, the newspaper. I write the article about finance. You can check me out every month. I'm right there.
Sultan, Chairman Emeritus of the Harlem Republican Club. I'll be retiring in February and joining you down here in Montco. You can find me at quantumexpeditions.com. That's our crypto mining company.
And to my drinking buddy.
Yeah.
Mr. James. Yeah. Tell him to find
me. You can find me on Instagram, James Whitehead underscore JWW underscore CEO. I'll be going for 14 weeks in the military. I also have an office, the Community Justice Partnerships. I'm a present CEO of the nonprofit over there, too. So you can find me there.
And thank you for joining us on Respectfully Speaking. Sorry EA can't be here today, but he will be back next week. And you can definitely tune to Glockaware at 6 o'clock to catch him on his show on Glockaware Radio. Thank you.